Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running here in 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him into 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's stepping back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow!
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and as always, I am here each and every week talking LSU football and the Tigers. Well, before I get into the Tigers, I got to plug in our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Well, the LSU Tigers continued their winning ways and improved to 7-0 last night on the season after defeating the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers 48-20. It was a very wet game due to all the rainfall from the remnants of what was once Hurricane Patricia, and we're still actually getting that here in Lake Charles as I look out the window. Still a lot of rain coming down, so thank goodness that there's been no major fatalities due to the hurricane, so that's always good. But it was a very wet game. But looking at the stats here from the game, it doesn't even really look like it could have been that sloppy of a game, because these are great statistics here from Brandon Harris. I was very impressed with Brandon Harris last night, but we'll talk a little bit more about that after we go through the scoring recap, as we always do. Let's start off here. The Tigers got on the board really quickly. Brandon Harris, 55-yard bomb to Malachi Dupree. He took it in for the score. But then Western Kentucky, beginning of the second quarter, tied it up at 7. Brandon Doughty had a 7-yard pass to Anthony Wales, ties it up at 7. And then LSU comes back. A Darrell Williams 2-yard run makes it 14-7. And that was your halftime score. So Western Kentucky was by no means out of this game at halftime, which – we kind of expected, because Western Kentucky was 6-1 coming into this game, third ranked passing offense in the country. But defensively, they actually were able to, you know, hold Leonard Fournette and company in check for the most part in the first half. And then, you know, second half comes, LSU reels off 20 points in the third quarter. Trent Domain got it all started with a 34-yard field goal, made it 17-7. And then Western Kentucky keeping it close once again. Brandon Doughty, second touchdown pass of the night. It was a 39-yard pass to Antoine Grant, and that made it 17-13. Trent Domain gets another field goal, 20-13, still a close game. And then finally, Leonard Fournette finds the end zone about halfway through the little pass, halfway through the third quarter, makes it 27-13. And then true freshman Tyron Johnson gets in on the fun. He got a 61-yard pass from Brandon Harris, makes it 34-13. Then Western Kentucky gets their final score of the night. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, Brandon Doughty, his third touchdown pass of the night, made it 34-20, and that was about as close as Western Kentucky would get it for the rest of the night. Trayvon Dural had a 17-yard pass from Brandon Harris following that, and then Darius Geis, a long 47-yard run, making it 48-20, which was your final score. So I was very impressed with Brandon Harris. Like I was saying just a minute ago, he had his career high 286 passing yards, and he also did have two touchdown passes. So Brandon Harris continues to, you know, we're seeing a lot of improvement through these last few games where he's thrown for 200 yards in every game. I remember the first couple of games he only threw for, 70 yards against Mississippi State, 74, 71 yards in the first two games. I'm not sure which was which, but and we were ranked dead last at one point in the nation in passing, and now we're ranked 115th, which is still, you know, not exactly the best. But over the last three games, I've definitely seen some improvement in our passing game. Brandon Harris seems very, very confident, and he's making some great passes, and he has not turned the ball over yet. So I'm knocking on wood right now, but he has not turned the ball over yet. And hopefully that trend continues in 2 weeks when they have the big showdown against Alabama, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. Let's continue to look at some of the statistics. Of course, Brandon Harris was 11 of 20 286 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was sacked one time, didn't throw any interceptions. So it was a good night for Brandon Harris. And then Leonard Fournette, 154 yards on the ground. He had 150 gained. He only lost 4, but he had 150 net yards and a touchdown, which is actually his season low, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so 150 yards, the season low for Leonard Fournette. Just goes to show you what kind of season he's having. Darius Geis, 51 yards. I keep looking at the game, 48 net rushing yards. Nick Brissett got in there with 23 yards. Darrell Williams had 15 yards, plus the touchdown. Brandon Daugherty, let's take a look at him real quick. He passed the ball. He had 325 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So we knew they were going to come in and throw the ball. And, you know, they got all these yards racked up, but they only got 20 points, and that's what matters the most. So the LSU defense actually played fantastically. He was only sacked one time. Deion Jones was able to get to him, and they were able to maybe not pressure Daugherty so much, but they were able to, you know, make stops when they had to, and hold Western Kentucky to only 20 points. Amazing, because they had scored pretty much at least 35 points in the last 5 or 6 games. So great job there by the Tiger defense. Now they'll have the 2 weeks to prepare for that Alabama offense, which we'll talk about in just a little bit as soon as we get through these statistics. Thank goodness LSU wasn't looking forward ahead to Alabama like I am right now in this show. But receiving-wise, LSU, Trayvon Doral had 132 yards receiving and a touchdown. Malachi Dupree had 86 yards and a touchdown. And Tyron Johnson, his one and only catch for 61 yards and a touchdown. So Trayvon Doral and Malachi Dupree getting the majority of the catches. But, Brandon Harris is putting it out there, spreading it out a little bit there, Tyron Johnson. And then Mouton was able to get a catch. And Leonard Fournette had one little catch for a very small gain out of the backfield. Now, last week, or going into last week at least, a major I guess it's still a problem, but the special teams needed a lot of improvement. They wanted to try and this would have been a good game for them to improve on that. Not only did LSU's kickoff and punt coverage teams not give up any sizable returns, but it actually created an opportunity that the Tigers offense cashed in on. LSU's Jamal Adams ripped the ball from a Western Kentucky kickoff returner, Kyle Towner, and Nick Brossette recovered at the Western Kentucky 24, and it took the Tigers less than just 40 seconds for Leonard Fournette to bang in for a 1-yard touchdown and a 27-13 lead with 5:54 left in the third quarter. Also, Dante Jackson, he did a solid job as a punt returner, filling in for Tre'Davious White, who missed the game because of a knee injury. We'll have a little bit more on that in just a minute. He made good fielding decisions, and he broke for a sizable punt return that got wiped out by the clipping penalty. That speed he has, I thought he was going to go the distance, but the penalty brought it back anyways. The only noticeable Tigers special teams mistake was Western Kentucky's kicker, Ryan Nuss, recovering his own onside kick early in the fourth quarter. Fortunately enough, though, LSU's defense wiped out the mistake by holding the Hilltoppers on fourth down at midfield with 11:45 to play. They had a lot of true freshmen. We talked about Tyron Johnson. He had a big touchdown. With White absence, Kevin Tolliver got his first start at cornerback and finished with 4 tackles, including 1 for loss. I remember that 1 for loss. That was a great play. He put a big hit on that wide receiver. I think it was a screen on his side or a little wide receiver screen. And great job Kevin Tolliver did at coming up, making the play, just blowing up that play in the backfield. Wide receiver Tyron Johnson's first touchdown catch of his career was spectacular as he outjumped a Western Kentucky defender to pull in a Brandon Harris bullet off a scramble and turning it into the 61-yard third-quarter touchdown. And then they had Dante Jackson. He had 4 tackles at his cornerback position and a spectacular touchdown fumble return nullified by a defensive holding call. So Dante Jackson, he had a couple of plays where he showed out and they were both brought back due to penalties. That's another thing that LSU kind of struggled in with this week. You know, last week against Florida, we talked about how they improved in the penalty department. They only had 3 against Florida. I think they had, 7 or 8 last night. I don't know if I have it written down anywhere, but we'll get that up for you in just a minute. The onside kick was the only, blunder that the LSU special teams had. Then the true freshman, let's see. Now, LSU was without 2 of its defensive starters against Western Kentucky on Saturday night. defensive tackle Christian Locature and cornerback Tre'Davious White missed both games due to injuries, but LSU had enough success against the nation's sixth-ranked scoring offense during its 48-20 win on a rainy night in Tiger Stadium. Both players suffered injuries leading up to the contest. Locature injured his foot, and Tre'Davious White hurt his left knee, and sources told The Advocate on Friday. I got that information from The Advocate. Locature had surgery on his foot. Defensive tackle Devon Gacho said after the game, and Gacho and Coach Les Miles said that Locature could play against Alabama. Miles also said White could have played Saturday, but he was seen visibly limping on the sideline during the game. Sophomore Greg Gilmore started in place of Locature, though sophomore Frank Heron rotated regularly when the Tigers lined up in their nickel package. Greg Gilmore said of Christian Locature, "He's good, man. He's good. I'm texting and calling him, going to check on him right after this. Everything is good." So it would be great if Christian Locature can get on the field against Alabama. Most likely, Tre'Davious White will be on the field against Alabama. So nothing major or severe there as far as that concerned. Now, LSU frequently used its six defensive back formation against Western Kentucky's pass-happy offense, leaving Locature's replacements on the sidelines for most of the time. Junior Dwayne Thomas, the Tigers' nickelback for the most of the season, filled in for White opposite of freshman Kevin Tolliver, who is the regular number two cornerback. Freshman Dante Jackson returned punts in White's absence. Ed Parris saw his most snaps of the season after defensive back Jalen Mills suffered a soft tissue issue. That's a quote, soft tissue issue in the first half, Les Miles said. So, yeah, Les Miles would, you know, try to do something like that, make it rhyme, sound a little fancy there. But Miles said he should return against Alabama. So, great news that all these Tigers who were banged up possibly will be playing, should be playing against Alabama in 2 weeks. Now, we talked about the special teams a while ago. The end to the LSU special team woes doesn't appear to be anywhere in sight. Though the Tigers look better on their kickoff coverages, their punt unit committed several mistakes in just the first half alone. First, Dante Jackson fair caught a punt inside the 10-yard line that looked like it may have bounced into the end zone for a touchback. LSU lined up in an exotic punt formation early in the second half, but appeared confused, causing a delay of game penalty. Later in that quarter, LSU coach Les Miles had to burn a timeout because the punt return unit had 12 men on the field. The special teams wrapped up a miserable first half with a big punt return by Jackson well into Hilltopper territory, but they had the illegal block in the back that negated the play, and the Tigers ended up just kneeling to go to the half. So still a couple things to improve on as far as the special teams goes, because in this game against Alabama, special teams could very well play a huge part, a huge factor in the Tigers' win. They got to go over to Tuscaloosa, so it's going to be a crazy crowd. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. It's going to be a tough game for LSU. It's going to be the toughest game they faced toughest game they've had all year, no doubt about it. Way tougher than when Florida came into Tiger Stadium and gave us a run for our money. So in Alabama, they seem to have struggled a little bit themselves with Tennessee, but we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Now, despite its sluggish performance, LSU's offense ripped off its longest drive of the season against Western Kentucky. They were backed up on their own 4-yard line after a precise punt, and the Tigers then marched 96 yards on just 6 plays to take the 14-7 lead. Junior receiver Trayvon Dorrell sparked the drive with a 67-yard catch and run on the second play of the series. Now, in my opinion, there has not been a lot of talk about Leonard Fournette as of late, I guess because of such a hot start that he had. His numbers have been so just through the roof through the first 4 or 5 games of the season that his last couple of games have actually been subpar, although he's ran for over 150 yards every single game. He had a season low this week, 150 yards. So not many people are talking about him, but Fournette did tie a significant record. Charles Alexander's record is now in danger because Fournette tied the former Tiger for a program record 9th straight 100-yard rushing game. So Alabama, if you can't hold Leonard Fournette to under 100 yards, then he's going to break that record for most most consecutive 100-yard rushing games. Now, Saturday's contest marked the 50th time under Coach Les Miles that LSU played a game ranked in the top five of the Associated Press poll. With the win, the Tigers improved to a record of 41 wins and only 9 losses in such game, and have won 52 straight non-conference regular season games, which leads the nation. Now, we did mention how it was a very wet atmosphere out there in Tiger Stadium. The announced attendance for the game, 101,561, and it certainly didn't look that way on television. I remember looking on television, seeing a lot of empty seats. So, and I'm not saying it was half full, but it was mostly full. But 101,000, I have a feeling. I don't believe there was 101,000 people in that stadium. If there was, it wasn't there for very long. It probably went down to about 95,000, maybe and even 90,000 by halftime. So let's take a look now at the LSU team statistics through last night's game. Total offense, 27th in the country, averaging 466 yards on offense. Rushing offense remaining in the top five, fourth in the nation, 309.1 per game. Passing offense, I did mention they were still ranked 115th in the nation, although our average now is at 156.9 yards per game. Now, our team passing efficiency, we are 19th in the country. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me how many yards we throw for, but if we're efficient with the football passing-wise, our passing efficiency, 152.66, good for 19th in the country. That's all we need to win football games. I mean, we could only throw for 150 yards against Alabama, but if we are having a 152 quarterback rating, you know, you could throw for only 150 yards, you get 2 touchdowns, and you complete 60% of your passes, and you have Leonard Fournette having 150 yards a game. I mean, that could be enough for LSU to win this ball game against Alabama, because LSU's defense is going to come to play. You know, holding Western Kentucky to 20, that's their second lowest scoring game of the season. They only scored 14 against Vanderbilt, but that was way back in September, when even this LSU team was, in my opinion, a very much different team way back in September. Let's continue now through the team statistics. Total defense for the Tigers, 20th in the country, only giving up 315 yards per game. Rushing defense, we're going to need that rushing defense to step up, because Derrick Henry is a man on a mission. You know, he's been having he has over 1,000 yards for the season already. Total rushing defense, 7th in the country, only giving up 93.7 yards per game. Passing yards allowed, we're 64th in the country. We're only giving up 222 yards per game. So that's something I'm not really that worried about, because Jake Coker, while he may be able to get some yardage, he's definitely made some mistakes this season. They've played, 8 games now, and he's thrown 7 picks. So he's almost averaging a pick per ball game. So our team passing efficiency defense, we're giving up a 120 pass efficiency rating, which is 46th ranked in the country. Fourth down conversion percentage, we're still perfect. I'm not even sure if we went for it on fourth down at all last night. I think we did maybe once or twice. I can't remember, but I watched bits and pieces of the game last night. I was working. I was not worried about LSU really losing this game. I did have it on my laptop, but when I saw it was only 20-13, even just into the third quarter, I got concerned a little bit, and then it was 27-13 and 34-13 before I knew it, and then that's when, you know, I felt a little more comfortable. So after that, you know, I stopped watching, and I can only watch bits and pieces of it. You know, when you're working, unfortunately, I can't pay full attention to the game, but luckily all these statistics are here that can give us an idea of how the game went down. Our red zone offense, 20th in the country, that's going to be huge, because against Alabama, when you get down into the red zone, touchdowns over field goals are very, very crucial. One of the most important things about when you play Alabama, and of course the game of the century 4 years ago, which was basically a field goal contest between LSU and Alabama, you know, that proved, you know, turned out to work well for LSU. But of course we all know what happened in the national championship game that year, but that's neither here nor there. LSU's offense is very capable of scoring touchdowns against Alabama now, so especially with Leonard Fournette, and you know, they're gonna stack that box against Fournette. Their number one concern right now is Leonard Fournette. They're gonna Alabama – now I got the hiccups. Excuse me, folks. Alabama is going to try and force Brandon Harris to beat him because they know that they have a better chance of winning the game if they allow – if they try and get Brandon Harris to try and win the game rather than Leonard Fournette, because we all know what Leonard Fournette can do. He does it on a consistent basis. And fortunately for us, Brandon Harris has been throwing the ball well on a consistent basis over the last 3 weeks. So hopefully that that trend continues, because if Brandon Harris gets 200 yards passing in this game, I'm very confident LSU is going to walk away with a win. Looking at some other team statistics here, turnover margin, we're tied for 12th in the country at plus one. So that's another thing too. Jake Coker makes, he tends to make mistakes, and we need to if we force Alabama to make mistakes, we have to capitalize on those mistakes. We have not beaten Alabama in 4 years, and we are well overdue for a victory. And for those of you who are LSU historians, you know that this Alabama-LSU series, historically, the road team has dominated this series. And now the last time we did go to Tuscaloosa, we did get kind of blown out, but – you know, that Alabama team that year was a great team. This Alabama is a good team too, but I don't think this Alabama team this year is as good as that team was back in 2013. So, you know, it's going to be an amazing game. Luckily, I will be off of work, so I will be able to watch it in its entirety. LSU Alabama is the game every year, at least for the past 8 years since Nick Saban has been there, is the game of the year for an LSU fan and an Alabama fan that you do not want to miss, because, I'm trying to think back. The only really game that wasn't even that close between LSU and Alabama was 2 years ago, 38-17 in Tuscaloosa, and then in the national championship game in 2012, which I don't want to talk about because it still hurts me to this day. But other than that, pretty much every game that I can think of has been a nail biter between LSU and Alabama ever since Nick Saban got there. In 07, 41-34, I could rattle off some scores for you real quick. 27-21, Alabama won in overtime in 08. 24-19 on that controversial interception by Patrick Peterson that was ruled incomplete back in 09. 2010, a game that I actually went to, LSU won 24-21 in one of the best games I've ever been to in Tiger Stadium. 2011, the game of the century, 9-6 LSU wins in Tuscaloosa. And then the national championship game, we'll go right past that one. 2012, 21-17, Alabama steals one from LSU in Tiger Stadium. 2013, the blowout. And then last year, of course, the heartbreaker in overtime where Alabama defeated LSU 16-13. So let's take a look at some team statistics for Alabama. Total offense, 49th in the country. They're averaging 421 yards a game. Rushing offense is only 42nd in the country. They average 188.5 yards a game. Passing offense, they do average 233 yards a game, which is good for 61st in the country. Their passing efficiency is 63rd in the country. I believe our passing efficiency is actually a little bit better than theirs. So right now, statistically, LSU has the upper hand on Alabama. Now their defense, total defense, 6th in the country compared to our defense. Right now we're 20th in the country. So Alabama does have a total defense advantage on us. Their rushing defense is 4th in the country. They're only giving up 70.5 yards per game. That's going to be the big matchup. Let's see how well Leonard Fournette can run against this Alabama defense, because this is probably the best rushing defense they're going to face all season long, unless they maybe I don't know who has a better rushing defense than Alabama. I don't know who the other three are. I don't know if they're playoff contenders right now or not. But LSU right in the thick of the playoff conversation right now, along with Alabama. Alabama is probably up there as one of the best one-loss teams in the country. So Alabama is up there as well. Their scoring defense, Alabama, 15th in the country. They're only giving up 16.4 yards per game. And LSU is scoring about 38 points a game right now. So this LSU offense scoring a lot more points than you would have thought maybe back in preseason. And at this point in the season, I'm not even so sure most LSU fans expected LSU to be 7-0 and be in the top four in the country. So definitely been a fun year so far for LSU heading into this bye week. Kind of want to talk about a little bit about how, you know, what LSU has done this year. Huge wins against Mississippi State, which Mississippi State, not as good as they were last year, but they're not doing too bad. So Auburn, a disappointment this year, and we absolutely rolled them in Death Valley, which was a sign of how good this LSU team could very well much be. And then go on the road to Syracuse, kind of let them hang around a little bit, but we got a big win up in New York. Eastern Michigan, let them hang around for a little bit, but we blew them out eventually. And South Carolina blew them out. Florida, probably the game of the year so far. Well, I don't know. That Mississippi State game was pretty good, but LSU-Florida was probably the game of the year as far as LSU goes so far. We got out of there with a huge victory against Florida. And then, you know, last night, Western Kentucky, we blew out Western Kentucky. I don't care. Some people might not have seen it that way, but we covered the spread and held a team that averages probably – that averaged over 40 points a game to only 20. So, yeah, we blew them out. And, you know, hey, I would love nothing more than to blow out Alabama, but history is gonna says that this team is going to it's going to be close. And taking a look at Alabama's schedule this year, they only lost one game. That was a six-point loss to Ole Miss, which back at the time just propelled Ole Miss into the high rankings in the top five. But then they have since lost two games. They've lost to Memphis, and then they lost to Florida. So we take a look now at some individual statistics for Alabama. Jake Coker, he has 1,623 yards on the season, 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Derrick Henry rushing the ball over 1,000 yards. He averages 5.8 yards per carry. Kenyon Drake, only 265 yards this year. So Kenyon Drake's been getting some carries, but Derrick Henry is by far their workhorse this year. A couple good receivers for Alabama, Calvin Ridley and Adarius Stewart, 525 yards receiving for Ridley and 331 receiving yards for Adarius Stewart. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. Thank goodness that LSU has 2 weeks to prepare, because I do believe that there is some – areas they need to improve on if they do want to beat Alabama, because for some reason Alabama just has our number over the past 4 years, and it's about time for the Tigers to get over the hump, defeat Alabama. And because if they defeat Alabama in 2 weeks, then I will go as far as saying that I can predict LSU to go 11-0 for the regular season and go to Atlanta. But we also have some tough games after that. On the road at Ole Miss is going to be that. Those are the two games: at home against Arkansas, and then at home against A&M. Not too worried about, because even when A&M had the great Johnny Manziel, we still managed to slow them down somehow. And I think that trend will continue this year. Arkansas, just not what they were thought to be this year. And I believe that LSU has the revenge factor, because they were absolutely embarrassed last year against Arkansas. It's at home. I hope to be at that game, because as far as I know, I will not have to work that game. I'm trying to make it out to Baton Rouge November the 14th, bringing my GoPro out there, going to make a cool video out of that, maybe even post it on our Tiger Hype podcast page. But, yeah, Alabama, LSU, 2 weeks away. Now, when we come to you next week, we're pretty much going to have an exclusive preview, LSU-Alabama preview show next Sunday. So tune in for that. We're going to dissect this game, because this is the game every year that everybody likes to dissect thoroughly. We're going to dissect it thoroughly next week here on Bingle Beat, LSU-Alabama. We're not even sure what the start time is for that game, but we will have it for you next week. They will probably announce that tomorrow. Today they also announced the polls. LSU is ranked number 4 in both polls. So LSU in the top 4 right now. Most likely they will be in the top 4 again, because they will not play, so they're not going to dock LSU unless maybe – somebody behind LSU has a just an unbelievable performance where they jump LSU. Alabama ranked 7th, so this is going to be a top 8 matchup most likely in 2 weeks in Tuscaloosa. Wouldn't be surprised if College Game Day makes it out there. But we will go through the LSU-Alabama game, preview it thoroughly next week here on Bingo B, because it is about time for me to wrap it up here, folks. But thank you for tuning in, and remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This coming week, LSU will have the bye, and in 2 weeks, they will take the trip up to Tuscaloosa for the showdown with Alabama. Join us next weekend, and we will have a preview show for the big game against the Crimson Tide. Until then, have a good week, folks, and go Tigers.